can you take us through that decision to hold Ryan Clark out of this game?
Yeah, it really wasn't a very tough decision. We gathered some data and information from the last time we were there in terms of a workout that we had for him. We looked at all the variables. We asked ourselves, was he at any more risk than the other 21 guys on the field? We came to the conclusion that he is, so we're not going to play him.
How did he take the news when you delivered it to him?
He understands me. He understands my approach to this, and you know, whether or not he agrees is irrelevant. I think he respects it.
How big a blow is that for you guys?
You know, we don't worry about injuries, and that's really what we equate this to. He's not going to be available to us, so the next guy up is, and we expect that guy to play winning football. You know, we've been in this situation like every football team quite a bit this year. We're not going to make more of a deal out of it than what it is. We expect Ryan Mundy and or Will Allen to play really good football.
Ben said that on a scale of 1 to 10, he's about a 5 right now. Ben at a 5, how beneficial is that?
You know, I'm not worried about how he feels right now. You know, hopefully he's not a 5 on Sunday, and I doubt that he will be.
Coach, back to Ryan Clark not being there. Ben was talking about how Ryan can help make up for Troy freelancing from time to time. But how much is that just going to affect what goes on in the back end from communication to where everybody needs to be, all of that?
You know, I'm not overly concerned about it, to be honest with you. We've got some veteran backup safeties. Ryan Mundy, of course, has been around here a long time, and Will Allen, of course, I've worked with him in two cities. So I'm not concerned about that at all.
Coach, what about the loss of Mendenhall? What's that going to mean to your offense?
You know, nothing schematically. Obviously, he's a quality young man and player. We're sad for him more than anything else. But we fully expect Isaac Redman and company to do the job.
I know you've seen this time and time again, but are you ever impressed by how much the Steeler fans travel, how well represented they are at, you know, at opposing stadiums?
It's not something that you get used to. I think that I'm continually surprised and awed by that, particularly when we're out west. You know, we got world championship caliber fans, and that's why we work so hard to produce results on the field for them.
Mike, as you look at film, do you think defenses have decoded Tim Tebow?
No, I think that you know, he's probably going through what a lot of newly starting quarterbacks go through, in that you get enough looks at people on film, then you get ideas about comfort zone and things of how you could potentially play them. You see the consequences of losing contain and things of that nature. I think people are gathering more information about him like you would do anybody that's played some now.
Mike, when's the last time you defended option football?
Oh, man, you know, in some form or fashion, you know, we prepare for it during the off season because, like everyone else in the National Football League, we understand potentially where this game could have gone and could go. We've been looking at it now for the last several years. That's why one of the reasons why we acquired a guy with the skill set of a Dennis Dixon on our team, one of our backup quarterbacks. He played at Oregon in a spread attack, a spread or read option attack, if you will. He has that skill set. We've always had a package of plays to highlight that. And in turn, our defense is also experienced the benefit of looking at some of those things and preparing for it.
Is Dixon Tebow this week?
Absolutely.
I know every player, you would concern yourself with every player, but do you think it's more difficult for a quarterback to prepare for his first playoff game than another guy at a position?
You know, I always tell our guys, you know, there's a little bit something dirty about every job in the National Football League, and quarterback is no different.
Coach, what do you see from this Broncos defense? I mean, at times they look like, you know, a top 5 pass rush, and we're ranked as such. Von Miller, his thumb probably is limited in the last couple weeks. What do you see from Elvis and Vaughn and the rest of them?
You know, I see a group that plays hard and fast. I see a group that's opportunistic. I see a group that's capable of breaking down pockets and making quarterbacks miserable. I think Von Miller is as good as advertised. I've heard a lot about that young man, and from watching tape the last 48 hours or so, it's well-deserved. Of course, you know, Doomerville's reputation is cemented. We all know what he's capable of. He's got some hot tape out there. I just think they're a really, really good, solid group. I like the contributions of guys like Thomas and DJ Williams. I think Mays has played really good football.
Well, you coached a lot of defensive backs in your day. What do you think of the Broncos being able to match up Champ in his this far along in his career on somebody's best receiver?
You know, I got a few guys that defy logic in that regard, too. I got guys that are playing like Hines Ward and James Ferrier and others, you know, Charlie Batch into their mid-30s. And, you know, I've been around long enough to know that there's no explanation for that. Those guys are just extremely blessed. And, of course, absolutely, Champ falls into that category. To continue to play at the level that he's playing at for the amount of time that he has is spectacular. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to talk about Brian Dawkins in that regard. We fully anticipate seeing Brian Dawkins this weekend. This guy been doing it 15, 16 years in this league. It's January. We suspect if he's breathing, he'll be in a uniform.
Mike, do you think playoff experience counts for you guys?
I don't know if it counts enough to be significant. I think there's certain benefits to it in terms of anticipating the drill and having an understanding of the atmosphere and all of those things, but I don't know if that equates to winning.
Coach, how would you describe the Steeler way?
You know, we're singularly focused on doing things right and winning. It's just that simple for us.
You talked about a guy like Champ Bailey in his 30s doing well. Do you put Willis McGahee in that same category?
No, I think that you know Willis is. You know, Willis is a little younger than his probably real age because, of course, he's shared carries for the last several years in Baltimore. I think that benefits a guy as opposed to a guy that's been the central featured runner. Obviously, he shared carries in Baltimore with Ray Rice, and I think that in the big scheme of things, that's probably benefits him.
Coach, are you younger than your age?
No, man, I'm 137 years old. Coaching will do that to you.
So what have you seen out of Willis compared to on tape this year compared to what you were used to seeing all those years in Baltimore the last, I guess?
It's the same Willis McGahee. Great vision and pick, more power than you think, awesome jump cutter.